Welcome, one and all, to Big News Wednesday. Now, thank you for joining us on the show. I have three big announcements to make. The first is that we, as usual, have Sharon Reed. Very exciting, Sharon. Thank you for being here.
I don't know that you should have started with me, but I just love being here on Wednesdays.
I'm starting with the biggest announcement and then I'm moving down to the most minor. So biggest announcement, Sharon is here. Second biggest announcement, TDR just hit 900,000 subscribers. And that's a dragon that burns away the 800,000s, I guess. But we're at 900,000, yay! That's awesome. Thank you to everybody who's become a subscriber so far this year. It's been a lot of you, but it will need to be more of you to hit our goal of 1 million subscribers in time for the general election. That's what we're going for. So if you're watching this right now, feel free to sign up. It's free, I'm pretty sure, unless that's changed. And you'll get notifications about our videos and all that, and that will be awesome. So thank you to everybody who signed up. And to those both in front of the camera, like Sharon, and behind the scenes who helped make the show something that 900,000 people want to watch every once in a while. And then the third announcement is that I messed with the camera settings yesterday because I was shooting something that resulted in a dimmer video and I realized I did not set it back. So I'm in a difficult position right now. I don't know what I'm gonna do about that, but I'll fix it eventually. Should I do it quick? Hey, Sharon, you wanna talk about, have you been following the NCAA women's final breaking records?
Goodness. It is.
You wanna talk for about a minute about that?
I just love
they did beat
I
the
love
men.
The rivalries too. I mean, first of all, Dawn Staley. I enjoy Dawn Staley so much. She's a Philly gal, as you know, I'm from that area. And she just is impossible to dislike, just like that. I followed her, her career under Pat Summitt in the backcourt. And now here she is, multiple titles, okay? She's coach of the year again, and she just keeps it interesting. She knows what to say. It's like, I wish she was my best friend. And then you have Caitlin Clark. If it were me, perhaps I would have taken the $5 million offer from that trio tournament thing, okay? If it doesn't work out, then I'll just regroup. Then I go to the WNBA. But I don't know, I could go on and on. They have, the bar is so high, like we know their names. I personally, this is weird. I can't name like the top guy in college men's basketball, but I know
Angel Reese, the weird thing is?
I know Caitlin Clark.
I can't either.
You see
it's
that?
It's weird, I never could really. I remember Okafor because I was at UConn at that point, but that's about it.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know, other than Gino, that, no. Women, I love Gino.
Yeah, I know who you're referring to kind of a little bit.
Ariemi, right? He's just so great, but there's room for others. And these rivalries are just so good for the sport. I love it.
I agree. It's exciting. And we will be talking more about that coach actually later on the show because you have pointed out all the amazing things she's accomplished. Some people think she's a goddamn traitor. And so we're going to be talking about that. But along the way, we're going to be talking about a lot else. And I'm still a little bit too bright. I want to be very clear. Yeah. Edwin does amazing job to set up all the lights here. This should not reflect on his work. I did this to him and he's going to be very mad at me. Yeah, but anyway, and for those of you on the podcast, you're like, what the hell is going on? Well, you got to go to the YouTube channel every once in a while and you can see when I mess up our tech. Anyway, with that said, we have so much to talk about. I'm not even going to tell you what. You know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be interesting. So just buckle up as we launch into this.
Right now, we've reached the presence of the Lord in the Senate chamber. We just released the hovering glory of God Almighty in the Senate chamber.
Well, if you're wondering what the separation of church and state is worth in 2024, about that much. That is the far right Arizona State Senator Anthony Kern guiding a prayer group on the floor of the state Senate as they race towards this absolutely abysmal judicial upholding of an ancient abortion law. So we're gonna turn to that law. But to be clear, they are not just praying there. They are kneeling on the floor speaking in tongues, which they can do. And you know what? I'm not attacking anyone who speaks in tongues. Yes, I am a godless atheist. That said, you know, this is government. That's religion. This is government. They're kind of supposed to be different things typically. But anyway, they did that. I guess hoping that the Arizona Supreme Court would uphold that 1864 law. And they did. They got what they wanted. Perhaps God heard their prayers and wondered, what the hell are they saying? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, he gave them what they want. So we are going to talk about that ban. We're going to talk about the politics of that ban. But before we get to all that, I want to talk about the men who gave us that 1864 bill. Coles Bashford and William Howell. You can see their photos right here. And if I had to say, who should be determining the state of bodily autonomy of women and people who get pregnant in 2024? I think it's guys who look exactly like that. One of whom took bribes, I think from a railroad company, and resigned in disgrace. Helped to champion that bill. Oh, and by the way, the Speaker of the House for Arizona, when that law was passed, is this man, William Claude Jones. 3 days after the legislative session that this bill was passed and ended, he married a 15-year-old girl. You know, just a thing that you do as a young, strapping 49-year-old politician, you marry a child. And that's the sort of person that was helping to shepherd this bill through. So it did happen. They got it. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled yesterday that the state must adhere to a 160-year-old law barring all abortions, except in cases where, quote, it is necessary to save a pregnant person's life. It carries a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years for abortion providers. So if you as a doctor provide the exact same medical procedures that you were able to do possibly for decades in your career, they will lock you up in jail for literally years. And let's just step aside for 1 sec to acknowledge that this law is 160 years old, which is quite, I mean, like, that's way back. Like, Mitch McConnell was a young boy at that point. And that's cool. That should determine what rights you have. When people talk about the possibility of like reparations or something, that's ancient history. Let's not talk about that. That's old stuff. We don't need to discuss that. So anyway, a little bit of hypocrisy when it comes to the history. But anyway, we're gonna get, as I said, into all the politics and everything. But right off the bat, I want your initial impressions, both of the fact that it passed, but then also like the fact that all the people in the state house they're championing it are, they're literally like prostrating themselves on the house floor speaking in tongues. What do you think?
It was a heck of a scene, and I almost wish that a medical team would come in and administer aid because they've lost it. And my first impression is, where are we going with this? I know where they want us to go with it, you know, never, never abortion, no exceptions, blah, blah. But where do you think society's going to follow here? If this can't stand, and the people in Arizona are generally those who are independent thinking a lot of times, so they've got to blow this whole thing up figuratively. I feel like in these times you have to say that. And enough of this. These people who are, get up, get over yourselves and stop trying to impose your will on women's bodies.
Yeah. Look, you ask a great question. I don't know where in the end this will take us because I have regrettably not yet watched the last season of The Handmaid's Tale. But the ones that I did watch, it didn't seem great. So everyone buckle up for that. But that's what they want, and they are super excited about this. That guy, Anthony Kern, put out a tweet saying, looks like our prayer team stirred up some God haters, like the Arizona Democratic Party, the Pima specific Democrats. Not to worry though, prayer over our state at the state Senate is way more powerful. Winky face. And that I think is just, this dude who belongs in 1864 on very much the wrong side of the big conflict of that era gets his way after speaking in tongues. Now, all of these women, 99.999% of whom he will never meet, lose control over their bodies, over their fates, their biological fate, their family fate, their financial fate. And he gives a winky face because he doesn't give a damn about people. This is fun and games to him. And we'll see how fun it is in the end, because of course there are political ramifications to this, not just policy ramifications. We should acknowledge both, and we will. So can the right spin this in a not necessarily a good thing, maybe a thing that the Democrats actually wanted to happen? Take a look at this.
Seems like politically, harmful to Republicans kind of across the board.
Almost seems scripted. Trump comes out yesterday, makes this big statement about leaving abortion to the states. He's really trying to create a tent that enough Republicans can stand under to elect him in November. So he does that yesterday. Today, Arizona comes out after the Biden campaign jumps all over Trump and said states are going to do radical things and Trump is going to be at fault. And then they do this with this 1864 law. It absolutely seems scripted. And Trump is going to get stuck with this time after time after time throughout this campaign.
I agree, he will. And he should, because this is his fault. He wants to brag about killing Roe v. Wade. Well, he now owns the consequences of killing it. And I love the subtle conspiracism of it seems scripted. Trump does this, and then all of a sudden, Republicans, conservatives in a state do something reprehensible when it comes to abortion. Well, I don't think that's how the causality worked. I think that we are now in an era where in any given week, something like this might well happen. And Trump happened to release a video on Truth Social. I think that's the simpler explanation, Google Occam's razor. But anyway, that's not even the worst take, just on Fox following that ruling. Take a look at this.
This will dominate the news for days because they think it'll hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This issue does not hurt Donald Trump. He's not against abortion. He's actually okay with abortion. He wants that 15-week limit, perfectly reasonable. Here's the key fact to everything. Since the Dobbs decision, abortions are up 10% in America. Mm. They had been on the decline for years. Last year, they were up 10%. So obviously.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't want to see any abortions.
Speaking personally.
But if somebody needs one, if they live in Arizona, it just means they'll have to go to the neighboring state. 154,000 people did that last year. It's not an unreasonable position.
Oh, thank you, pasty faced, whoever that is. I don't care. I'll forget that you existed in about 3 seconds. But thank you for saying that. If you have to drive to another state, who cares? Certainly not me. I don't care. Conservative on Fox News. If you have to try to get a day or 2 days off work to go there, if you have to potentially stay and pay not only for the procedure, but also for housing, if you have to do all of that and make sure that your family will be okay while you're gone, all of that stuff that is a natural consequence of the thing that I am advocating you be forced to do without giving it a second goddamn thought. If you have to do that, that's fine to me because I am a real person to me. You are not. You go try to live, try to have rights, try to have control of your body, but I don't care. This won't hurt Trump. He's just going to have to try to get elected while people like me are saying things like this. And I am so happy that he holds the positions that he does. I have more thoughts, but Sharon, what do you make of this?
He's boxed in, Trump. I couldn't agree more. You know, when white men get together and talk about women's wombs like they did in the 1800s, I think this is how it looked, okay? Minus the good lighting, and I don't know what was going on there. But it's just ridiculous. And the one thing that I love is, yes, Trump is boxed in to his braggadocious opinions and his I delivered the end of Roe v. Wade. But what I don't think people realize is once these religious zealots, and that's by definition what they are because they're trying to force it upon us, got that carrot. They're not going to wait on his timing. I think Donald Trump will absolutely ban everything. He doesn't care when he gets in office, if he does. He would gladly give him whatever. It doesn't affect his life, okay? Well, anyway, I could go somewhere else. I won't.
You can speculate.
Right? He'll get what he needs, believe me. But I just think it's lovely. And I think that these people who decide what's best for women's bodies are lying to us. I don't know where he got this 10%. They're up by 10%. How does he know?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and again, it's a right. It was a right for people's entire lives. The idea that you think that should be contingent on some statistics that you pulled out of your ass, I don't understand. I also want to just briefly address his, Trump's, he's not against abortion, whatever. Like, sorry, anonymous mediocre dude. A certain Trump had no problem with abortion. Late 1990s Trump, who was thinking about running for office and was asked very specifically about his position on abortion. And he said that he would not outlaw it in any case. He was asked specifically late term abortion and he said, no, I would not outlaw late term abortion. He's now, of course, the guy who's saying that they're killing babies after birth or whatever, but that's what he actually believed. And the reason that in the 90s he could believe that it should be illegal in literally every case, to now being the guy who wants to hold the Oval Office and will definitely sign whatever national ban goes before him. If you think that he's vetoing a ban, I need you to wake up because we're trying to do some politics here and that's a crazy position to hold. The reason that he can hold those two wildly different positions is, and I know we're not supposed to say this, we're supposed to assert that he's grown over time or he's been influenced by people. It's because he doesn't care either way. It doesn't matter to him. He has no real position on this. If he knocks someone up and they need an abortion, he's gonna drive him to it. Or if he was capable of driving, he'd drive him to it. He'd call him an Uber. He doesn't care. And honestly, briefly, everybody gets to decide for themselves. I think the fact that Roe v. Wade was killed by a guy who doesn't give a damn about it is kind of worse than an actual Christian zealot killing it. It doesn't really matter to your rights either way, but it seems ridiculous. In any event, I want to get your thoughts on this before we move on to some of the short-term political consequences to Arizona.
I think we are forced now to this end game. Whether we wanted to be here or not, we're here. And I do think that Trump is not able, again, to control these religious zealots. So it's time for the people to take back what's theirs. It's time for women to just get out there and say, go away, to any man who wants to put parameters on when one shall or shall not bear child. Thank you, Donald. Finally, perhaps this could be the end of a nightmare.
One of the most high profile candidates in Arizona right now, Republican Carrie Lake, is probably not happy with the Supreme Court of Arizona state decision. So I wanna give you her reactions to this, to the fact that it was passed. But first, I want to go to what she was saying before the ruling, back when she was running in a different election in 2022 and she wanted to be governor.
My personal belief is that all life matters, all life counts, and all life is precious, and I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to take is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen.
Okay, but you approve of that? At conception?
I believe life begins at conception.
Okay, what do we do about abortion pills? What do we do about-
I don't think abortion pills should be legal.
Okay, so when she was trying to get elected in 2022, conception, instantly. That's a total ban. That's a 100% ban. That's not even like a 6 weeks. Yes, because of the heartbeat. No, that's just, it's gone. It's gone. The abortion, the pill is gone. The procedures are gone. It's all gone. But now she's worried that her hopes to get elected in 2024 might be gone. And so she is singing a very different tune. She put out this statement. Notice it's in statement form. She doesn't appear right now to be interviewed about this. But she says, I am the only woman and mother in this race. I understand the fear and anxiety of pregnancy and the joy of motherhood. I wholeheartedly agree with President Trump. This is a very personal issue that should be determined by each individual state and her people. I oppose today's ruling and I am calling on Katie Hobbs of the state legislature to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support. No, but see, that's the thing. Carrie Lake, we had a common sense solution that the vast majority of Americans support. It was called Roe v. Wade. You should Google it. It was pretty big for about the better part of a century. And that resulted in people having that personal choice that you as a mother hold so dear now, but not 2 years ago. 2 years ago, screw all the moms. It's not up to you. It's up to me. I'm saying you can't do it. So anyway, there's no values. There's no ideology in any of this. She's just terrified that she's going to lose. What do you think?
Bingo. And how dare you call on Katie Hobbs, Carrie Lake? She should block her number. Katie Hobbs should block her number. This whole thing is like, it's a big circle. We're going to end up right back, I pray, in Roe v. Wade territory. They're actually, they ruined it. They stole it back after all this time. And that's where they're now inching back towards. It's baffling, it's chaotic, it's weird, okay? Yeah. I would prefer an AI version of Carrie Lake at this point. At least, you know, there'd be more, well, maybe she is predictable, actually. She is predictable. Other than her haircut, I don't find one redeeming quality. I just don't. Yeah. I don't.
100%. Well, again, she's not the only one. Apparently, one of the most vulnerable in Congress. This is David Schweikert, said, I do not support today's ruling. This issue should be decided by Arizonans, not legislated from the bench. I encourage the state legislature to address this issue immediately. And to that, I would say, hold up, buddy. This was determined by Arizonans. Coles, Bashford, William Howell, and William Claude Jones. It was a little while ago, but they were Arizonans. No, this is them. They were chasing a car. They caught up to it, and now they don't know what to do. And I want to close by saying this, what we're seeing right now, both sides of it, the Roe v. Wade being killed and the political implications for Republicans right now. If you held the positions that I'm about to criticize, understand that everybody can grow and everybody can change. That's why I'm doing this. But for the people who prior to the 2016 election said, he's not gonna kill Roe v. Wade. They're not gonna kill Roe v. Wade. Stop fear mongering. Stop trying to make us feel bad about supporting Trump or being okay with him getting elected. Well, reminder, he did. He put those people on. They killed it. They killed it. All of them saying that they wouldn't, by the way, they all lied during their hearings to get onto the court. They lied in the same way that Trump is lying if he ever even comes out and says that he won't pass a national ban, because he will. And then, like, when they killed it, maybe some overlap with those people are like, well, yeah, okay, this looks bad, but it's gonna hurt the Republicans so much that it's good. No, no. A silver lining can be a silver lining. That doesn't make it okay what happened. The fact that some Mississippi state legislator shock loses a state race doesn't mean the fact that women are developing sepsis because their rights are being denied suddenly becomes okay. Okay, it's, I guess, a good consequence considering the horror that's been playing out that we were warned about, that people like me were warning about. But again, it doesn't make it okay. And as soon as possible, it needs to be codified into law at the national level, not at 6 weeks, not at 15 weeks, back at Roe v. Wade levels. Or we need to replace the conservatives on the Supreme Court to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. It's great to have an issue to run on. It's better to have rights and control of your body. That's my position. Everybody is free to disagree. Final thought goes to you, Sharon.
Statute of limitations is also an issue. Don't try to rush and fix it real quick. I mean, I think the things you just said are very thought provoking. There are doctors out there and hospitals who are saying, look, we got to just back off completely because some of these places have 10-year statute of limitations where they can go after these doctors. It is asinine. It really is asinine that this is what we're doing. But I also think if you don't take care of this, as you said, at the national level, this will go on forever. Karl Rove said it more than a decade ago, I believe. All politics are local. They started with the judges and the legislature. They started locally to put the people in place to activate. And they're activating. And just when you kind of do this whack-a-mole with one, another pops up and another. And they just keep going and going and going.
Yeah, 100%. You beat Herschel Walker and you get Carrie Lake again. Like, oh, they keep popping up. But especially in terms of state legislators, judges, all of that. It is a difficult fight to wage to get things back to some sort of normality, let alone sanity. With that said, we do need to take our first break. Thank you all for watching this first segment. There is much more to come though, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Apologies, we're just fixing some little issues behind the scenes that I caused. So with that said, if you're just joining us now, please hit the like button because we've got a lot more to talk about starting with this.
For everyone caring for a loved one, my budget would finally create a national paid family and medical leave program. Up to 12 weeks to care for a newborn, a sick loved one, or yourself without losing your income. Look, it's past time America caught up with the rest of the world on paid leave.
Yes, it is way, 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 way past time that we caught up. And look, if we're gonna nitpick, does this even catch us up? Perhaps not. It's not nearly as generous as many like European countries, but it would still be an absolute game changer for many, many Americans who do not have anything like 12 weeks of leave. And so great announcement there. by Joe Biden, of course, announcing it and fighting for it and getting it passed are different things, but you have to do the first before you can even try to do the second and the third. So that is good news and likely will be well received by voters, because according to polling, 85% of voters in battleground states favor paid parental, family, and medical leave. That breaks down to 96% of Democrats, 82% of independents, even 76% of Republicans. 96% of young voters of color favored it, as did 84% of suburban women. And this is good news. And, you know, not enough of what Biden is announcing is getting covered or gets the credit that it deserves. But I also just want to pause for a second to point out that a policy that 96% of Democrats, 82% of independents, and 76% of Republicans favor, maybe we can get it. That is wildly popular. And there's a 25% chance that it gets passed, but good. At least we're moving in that direction. As someone who just recently went through having a kid and am lucky enough to live in California, which is a state, and I work for an employer that both are generous in comparison to the vast majority of companies and states in America, I know exactly how important this leave is. And so hopefully everyone gets the same sort of opportunity that I got. And so Sharon, there's a lot more other policies we want to layer on this, but what do you make of this announcement and the politics of it?
I don't even want to do the Debbie Downer thing and say it's not enough. I want to echo what you said. We've got to get this done. But when you tell me that there's 25% chance, I know who's really in charge and who's lobbying and who's doing what they can to make sure that Americans can't just live and breathe and just have families. Are we here to work? Are we here to live? And so I hope this catches fire. I can't imagine, you know, a time where when you're caring for a loved one or caring for a new baby, not having that other added stress. I have a mother who did wonders for me, I'd like to think, even though I tease her. And she lives with me and she has systemic medical issues and brain issues from an accident. And I'm fortunate enough to work from home. I do a little bit of acting and I drop in here. And you're right about this network. I'm amazed that it's able to thrive, but it's proof that companies can do the right thing and still be wildly successful. It's not, you know, it's not one or the other. You can do the right thing, have happy employees who want to continue to be there for you. They just need your support. So hopefully.
Yeah, we could even go farther and say that maybe it isn't just that you could have both, but that having the one gives you more productive, more loyal workers who will stay there so you don't have to constantly be training new people. Like maybe getting what I would consider to be sort of the bare minimum respect is a good thing for that relationship.
Look how happy you are. Look how happy you are.
Yeah, I'm happy. I got to spend 12 weeks with my daughter. I wish that I'd have it even more, but I loved every minute of it. I mean, that's with hindsight, a lot of it was exhausting and grueling work. But anyway, thankfully I had it and other people should have it too. And I would also say that, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Biden will propose this and Republicans in the House and Senate will flock to it. And why wouldn't they? They are, after all, the party of families, they say constantly. They like families so much, they'll force you to start one. And so I would say that if they're gonna force you to give birth, maybe they could give you like a couple of weeks to take stock of the fact that your life has now been set on a totally different path than you ever thought, thanks to the political ideology of some Republican you've never met. I think that that would be a silver lining in that case. But anyway, I want to give credit to Biden on a few other things too, because not only is he now pushing for a renewed paid family leave policy, which will be in his budget and we'll see if it makes it, but he is promoting a plan to create accessible childcare for families starting at $10 a day. The estimates are that it would save millions of folks as much as $7,000 a year. As a new parent, yes, do that thing. That sounds really good because it is incredibly expensive. It is so expensive that many families are forced in the position of figuring out, we know that we need both people in the relationship to work, But maybe it's cheaper to have one not work just so that we don't need to do the childcare. And that's not good for the economy. That's not good for their employers. So make it accessible, make it affordable. That's how you encourage people to start the families. If you're going to be like Elon Musk and fetishize other people's bedroom habits resulting in people being pregnant, maybe make it so that the idea of having a kid isn't financially terrifying. But anyway, and on top of that, I want to remind everyone, we covered this earlier this week, but he does have his new student debt, mainly the interest repayment plan that he wants to layer on top of some of the other student debt focused legislation that he's put out recently. So all of that is good. I also want you to bear in mind that theoretically, there can be a continuing child tax credit. There is a bill that's being worked on right now. Unfortunately, thanks to Republicans, it is described as being on life support. Senate Republicans not sure if they want this package of tax cuts, which by the way includes business tax cuts. They might be willing to kill the entire thing and screw over the businesses that they love so much if that's what it takes to stop the child tax credit. That, by the way, would benefit 16 million children in low-income households. And again, if you're gonna force people to have these kids, maybe make it affordable. That's my view. What do you think, Sharon?
Once again, they're not considering the full or big picture. It's this haphazard, let me impose my will on people. If they don't do it, there's gonna be more chaos, there's gonna be more dread, and people will pay more attention in between working two and three jobs, if they're lucky enough to get two and three jobs to make ends meet. I think it really is. I understand what you said last segment about people and silver linings. You know, just because it's devastating doesn't mean that, well, the good thing is they'll lose. But apparently we're being forced to go through this destructive process in order to, optimistically, I say rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, look, this sort of goes to what I was talking about in the pre-port. Everyone should definitely check out the pre-port every day. But like when you see these things, these thoughtful, achievable policies, we can do it. I know, because many countries that don't have nearly the economic strength that we do have made it work for literally decades. And you're like, well, you know, it would be nice to be able to have my kid be cared for without bankrupting me. That would be great. And the child tax credit would be very helpful. And that would be great. I would love to be able to spend, 8-12 weeks with my kid after they're born. But this side really demonizes Guatemalans well. And so I think screw my finances. I want to go with those people. I will never understand that. In any event, we have other news to talk about. So whenever we're ready, why don't we jump into this next topic? Two MAGA pranksters are going to be paying big time for one of their pranks, specifically their efforts to disenfranchise black voters during the 2020 election. We're going to get to the punishment, which is massive, but first the crime. That is Jacob Wohl. His face might ring a bell. Thankfully, in the modern era, we don't have to hear about him very often, except when the legal consequences roll in. But him and Jack Berkman, they were the masterminds, if you can call it that, behind this robocall.
Hi, this is Tamika Taylor from Project 1599, a civil rights organization founded by Jack Berkman and Jacob Wohl. Mail-in voting sounds great, but did you know that if you vote by mail, your personal information will be part of a public database that will be used by police departments to track down old warrants and be used by credit card companies to collect outstanding debt? The CDC is even pushing to use records for mail-in voting to track people for mandatory vaccines. Don't be finessed into giving your private information to the man. Stay safe and beware of vote by mail.
It makes me so mad because I remember that robocall when it was originally going around, and it says so very much about these two troglodytes. But the good news is that while they did this and tried to get some black voters in important areas not to vote, they are now going to pay for it. 85,000 people apparently were reached by these calls, and that's a big number. But I've got a bigger number for you. It's $1.25 million that they will likely have to pay as a result of what they did. And Sharon, I don't know exactly what number I would put on it and consider that to be fair. I would have been perfectly happy to go much higher than that. But 1.25 million sounds pretty good. What do you think?
I think it sounds wonderful. These two frat boys decided to attack black and brown people using what they say is something inescapable. Blacks are criminals and credit risk, and so we must attack them where we can find them and do more fear mongering. So I hope that they actually have to pay every penny of this and that it reaches the people that they targeted. And maybe one day they'll realize that we can be great too, and indeed we are. While you do the devilish work that you're doing, hopefully you'll understand that we're not going anywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. I know you're trying hard, but we're not going anywhere.
And by the way, when you see turnout rates in elections broken down along like different demographics, and you see the incredibly high turnout among Black voters, like, you know, I think everybody, you know, well, I was going to say everybody considers that a good thing. Obviously, some people do not. And it must bother them so much. Oh, God, it must bother them. And then so they're paying $1.25 million. And I'm going to give you a statement from Letitia James, who just keeps cranking out the hits. But anyway, but first, though, I just want you to stop and think. And I almost wish that I could get Brett to do a sketch of this. Imagine these two pathetic racists workshopping what the robocall is gonna say. Because they're like, okay, how do we get these people? Well, we make them scared because they're all criminals, obviously. They're all about standing warrants. We're gonna get them. And then they're all in debt, so we're gonna scare them that way. And ooh, can we throw in a reference to the man? They like that. They like things about the man. It's just so stereotypical, so pathetic. Like, oh God, if you just like got ChatGPT to produce something that a dim-witted racist would want in a robocall, that's what they got. So pathetic. But anyway, here is a statement from Tish James, the AG in charge of this. The right to vote is the cornerstone of our democracy and it belongs to everyone. We will not allow anyone to threaten that right. Wohl and Berkman orchestrated a depraved and disinformation-ridden campaign to intimidate Black voters in an attempt to sway the election in favor of their preferred candidate. Now they will pay up to $1.25 million to my office, the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation, and the individuals who are harmed by their scheme. My office will always defend the right to vote. And I love that some of this money at least will go towards hopefully increasing turnout in future elections. That's a fun bit of irony to close this thing off with. What do you think?
It's fitting. She is a champion, people's champ. I do rather love her affect. And I know that's just a superficial thing to note. But I love it. I love her statements. I love it more when she delivers them. And I'd like to follow these racists and see how they evolve, if they can, throughout the years. And yes, the fact that it will go, we hope, to more Black turnout, that heavy lift that Black people have been doing for so long, is just icing on the cake.
100%. Also, just you try to keep this story in your mind. The next time a Republican's like, why do they call us racist? Why are you always smearing us as racists? And by the way, everybody watching this, you'll know I never said in this story which candidates they were supporting. But you already know, don't you? She said in favor of their preferred candidate. She didn't say who, but you already know. You already know. Anyway, with that said, we do need to take our second break of the hour, but much more to get to on the other side of this. Okay, so really fast, two funny comments. Williga says, John, how are you so right and yet so brave? That is true. What is this, a Fox News interview of Donald Trump? And HM Fan 2010 says, it looks like John's lights are set to broil. That is good. I asked in the break if I should turn them down more.
I said it was good.
HM Fan, do you have a Blue Apron gift card? If you don't, send an email to rewards@tyt.com because that was funny. If you do, let me know so I give it to someone else. But anyway, that was good. Okay, with that said, we do have more to talk about. Megyn Kelly is going to take up a chunk of our time, weirdly enough, but let's jump into this.
Now that the case has been filed, at least on the misdemeanor, it seems to me that they've, you know, it's going to be a tough defense.
Oh, he's getting convicted. I don't really think there's a lot of mystery about that. He shouldn't, but he's going to get convicted. The jury's going to hate him. Manhattan went 92%, 80, between 87 and 92% for Joe Biden. That's where this is going to be tried. These are not Trump lovers. And even the Trump survey that he attached to his most recent motion showed that 61% of the jury pool that they surveyed already thinks he's guilty.
But they also could be just following the evidence. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, again, putting aside whether they should have been prosecuted.
So Dan Abrams is totally right. Maybe it's just the evidence. Maybe he just actually did this thing. And the thing is, Megyn Kelly, like the headline version is, says he's gonna get convicted, which we'll see, maybe he will. But you can never forget that she is a massive coward and a grifter, because she immediately retreats to, because they're unfair. They're unfair. Don't stop listening to me, right wing. He definitely didn't do it, even though he definitely did it. I desperately need your support and your viewership. So she's, again, she cannot actually make the case that he didn't do everything that he's alleging to. And notably, she's not making that case. She's just pretending that regardless of the fact that he did everything he's described to have done, he shouldn't be convicted for some reason. And by the way, like when pushed, she doesn't really deny any of it. Take a look at this.
You don't actually believe Trump didn't have an affair with Stormy Daniels, as he says, right?
I believe there was an interlude. I don't know if affair may be just
whatever. Strong. Yes, all right, fair enough. Fair enough in terms of the language, but some, you know, the sex happened between them. And you know, and that's going to be a tricky part of his defense, right? His defense is going to still be it didn't happen, but I wanted to make this go away to protect my family, etc. I mean, putting aside whether the jury's in Manhattan or the jury's somewhere else, it's a tough technical case for him.
Look, I think the jury's going to believe that he paid off a porn star before the election to make her go away, and that he didn't write down in his books hush money to Stormy Daniels, because no one in the history of hush money payments has ever written that in any book anywhere. It defeats the whole purpose of a hush money payment.
Okay, thank you, Megyn Kelly, for that last bit, because there you're being honest about what you actually believe. He had the affair, he paid her off, he lied about it, but we don't typically convict rich people for doing that, so we shouldn't hear. That is what she actually believes. She's being honest there. It is a highly, thoroughly elitist argument. The idea being that these people are better than us. They should be above the law. They get to pay people off. And how dare you point out that that's what they did? That is, at the end of the day, her actual defense. It's not an affair, it's an interlude. And I would just remind everyone that it was, while she is not, Stormy Daniels is not claiming that she was raped or sexually assaulted or anything like that, the way she describes it, there was no active consent. He forced himself on a woman who had no interest in having sex with him. It's not a legal thing. She's not saying that he should be locked up for that, but that's who he is. He's a guy who goes through his life wanting women. They don't want him and he doesn't care. And that seemingly doesn't bother Megyn Kelly. None of this seemingly bothers Megyn Kelly. I'll remind everyone too, this happened 2 months after Melania gave birth. This guy has a 2-month-old at home and he's like, yeah, I'm bored, don't care about the kid, not gonna help out. Who can I go have sex with? And look, at the end of the day, maybe to me, politics is too personal. Maybe other people are better at separating their personal evaluation of a person from what politically they'll achieve. But the idea that you would support that person is insane to me. And of course, Megyn Kelly is not going to acknowledge any of this, because she knows how reprehensible of a position that is, which is why she does not actively take it. It's all in the implication. Again, she does not want to turn off her viewers. So I apologize. Obviously, I have a lot to say about this. But Sharon, what do you think about the hush money case? What do you think about her assertion that it's unfair if he gets convicted?
Blistering legal commentary, not. Okay, it's the fake part for me when it comes to Megyn Kelly. You're right. She doesn't believe any of that. She doesn't even like Donald Trump, but she is a woman without a tribe. She's been floundering ever since she jumped and swam upstream to NBC, if that's really swimming upstream. And she's just a person who doesn't have authenticity. And she's also wrong about no one in the history of hush money payments has ever written it down. I remember hearing about Jerry Springer, who wrote a check to a prostitute. So you know what? Just let's just pump the brakes and let's look at this for what it is. Is it the most devastating thing someone could be accused of? No, but this man does not have decency. And when I think about a candidate that I want to support, there's so many issues. And I'm usually not a single issue kind of gal, but I need to know there's somewhere in you decency so I can trust you to carry out some policy that will benefit more than just you.
100%. And and again, I'll remind everyone, he's not being prosecuted for having the affair or whatever. He's not being prosecuted for the hush money payments. He's prosecuted for the fact that he hid it. He hid it to violate campaign finance laws. This was clearly a campaign related expense. It was him managing his the view that the public have of him in the immediate lead up to the election. She's apparently fine with rich people doing that because again, she is deeply elitist, as almost all these right wing pundits are. The rich are better than us. They can do whatever they want. They have the resources that makes them superior. Get off their back. That is her actual position. And Megyn Kelly, if you have a problem with that, don't hold that position. You know, maybe you should second guess a lot of your positions because they're the reason you've ended up in the position you're in. But anyway, we are running out of time. So we're going to move on to another set of horrible opinions that she has. Let's move on to sports.
Complete turncoat to womankind. She gets out there, she gets to the position of power, she gets all of her accolades and awards and all of this fawning praise and money. And when she has the chance to do something for women coming up behind her, she pulls up the ladder.
That is Megyn Kelly, absolutely aggrieved that South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley is a turncoat to women for reasons which we will describe. What you should bear in mind is the team just won their third NCAA championship. She's apparently the first black coach to win three Division I basketball titles. It is a moment of incredible historic triumph. And of course, the right wing has to find something to be mad about. And so they take a statement that she said and lose their mind over it. She said, if you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. And so Megyn Kelly loses her mind. Take a look at this.
There's this columnist over at USA Today Sports, Nancy Armour, who's a repeat violator of women's rights. She can't find the female athlete she wants to protect, who also tweeted out, Dawn Staley is a goddamn national treasure. You're a goddamn national disgrace, madam, because you have a pen in a very large newspaper, dwindling though by the day, and you too could stand up for women, but you're too cowardly to do it. And you know why? You're not a mother. You don't have to worry about your daughter having to face some 6'4" man out on the basketball court like I do.
Yes, Megyn Kelly loses a lot of sleep over that fear. It's not grifting to her audience who she knows are deeply transphobic. It's not that at all. It's a genuine fear. And that writer should shut up because she's not a mother. She doesn't have a kid. She doesn't have a daughter. She doesn't have any position to talk about that. Well, Megyn Kelly, I have a daughter. You shut the hell up. How about that? I think that she should, I want her to engage in sports because I actually care about women's sports. It's not just a position that you and other right wingers take to use to attack trans people. And I hope that she engages with it. And I hope that she engages with it with people who are actively pursuing their love of sport, regardless of whether you like their life decisions or whatever. So anyway, we have other stuff to get to on this, but Sharon, what do you make of this? I know you'd been previously talking about this win.
Yeah, Dawn Staley is a national treasure. And Megyn Kelly, I thought maybe she was looking in the mirror when she uttered that. By the way, her daughter is not facing a 6'4" man, as she made sure to say on the court, yeah, because this is a non-issue and she should stand down and stop trying to hurt people. But then again, hurt people hurt people. She's angry and upset at her circumstance, and all the money in the world is not going to change that.
Yeah. 100%. Nancy Mace also, I don't want to just focus on Megyn Kelly. Nancy Mace, who is from that state, that's where she represents, says, wonder how she'd feel if her team got beat with a man playing on the opposing team. Absolute lunacy. Men do not belong in the locker room. Oh, well, they're not actually, conveniently, yeah, because they're not men. Hey, problem solved. Nancy Mace, read a book. Or on the court with our women and girls, I will stop at nothing to ensure men do not take away the achievements of women and girls. I'm sure she will tirelessly fight for that. And then like every other right winger that has made this their entire personality over the last few years, will completely ignore everything else having to do with women's athletics. I will just remind everyone, virtually every one of the right wingers that has spent 3 years talking about how there is nothing more important than women's sports when the topic is trans people's participation in it, are going to go on a rant today about how utterly irrelevant women's basketball is. You know they will. The fact that they got higher ratings than the men is burning them up inside. And every single man in right-wing media of politics or in sports who've never achieved a damn thing in their life athletically cannot help but pass to take an opportunity to point out that women are not as athletically gifted as men. Like, that is so deeply important to these men who are in terrible shape and have never done anything physically. I don't know why that is, but they are going to be all over the place. And I think that that is deeply hypocritical. Any other thoughts before we close out?
Well, I should mention this, and I don't even know if it's relevant. Dawn Staley honed her game, perfected it, playing street pickup ball in Philadelphia against men who respected her and her game, and she's better for it. Look at her now, history books.
No. If a woman gets on the court with a man, that woman will spontaneously combust. That's a biological fact, and that's the way it has to be.
Cheryl Miller, Candace Parker. Okay.
Anyway, also want to acknowledge, seems like the sort of thing that should be a part of this conversation. As Jemele Hill points out, there isn't a single transgender woman competing in Division I women's basketball. I bet if you polled right wingers, they would say that like 30% of athletes are trans at this point. They don't know and they don't care. Anyway, we are way over. Thank you everyone who's listening to the podcast. Those of you watching live, there's more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.